The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text for this morning is found in the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And this one verse for this morning. Listen to what is recorded here by Mark. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, that's he said unto his disciples, just before he ascends back to glory, he said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you hear it? Maybe you were able to read along, but if not, did you hear that? And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, many of you probably are aware that this verse records some of the last words spoken by Christ before he ascended back to glory to sit at the right hand of God the Father. These were his last words. Think about it. Most of the time, last words are very important, aren't they? Someone we cared dearly about, you know, called us to their bedside, and we knew they were dying, or at least felt strongly that they were dying, and they said, I've got some things to tell you before I go. Our ears would be wide open, wouldn't they? You listen to these last words. Well, these are some of the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. What did he say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So here's a question then, in light of that. What is the primary, think about it, what is the primary objective given in this verse? Now think, I'd like you to consider that for a moment. What is the primary objective given in this verse? Is it going into all the world? Some people think so. Some people say, yeah, well, that's the primary objective. Go into all the world. Others may say, well, it's preached to every creature. Because he says this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? So some would say, well, go into all the world. That's the primary thing. Others would say, well, preach to every creature because you could go but not preach. And I understand these things, but listen, neither one of those are the primary objective here. Here's the primary objective. Go ye into all the world and what? Here it is. Preach the gospel. Do you see it? And preach the gospel. Now here's why I say. Here's why I say this is the primary objective given in this verse. Thousands of people. Millions of people are constantly going all over the world. And they go all over the world for all kinds of religious purposes. All kinds of religious reasons. So thousands and millions of people are constantly going all over the world, but they preach no gospel. They go all over the world, and they build houses and dig wells, and those are honorable things. I'm not criticizing those things by any means, but that's not what Christ told these disciples to do, is it? He didn't say go into all the world and build everybody you can a well. No, he said go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So again, thousands and millions constantly are going all over the world and going in the name of God. But they're not preaching the gospel. Thousands are going and preaching to millions more. They're preaching to millions more, but they're not preaching the gospel. You see, preaching itself, he didn't just say, go ye into all the world and preach to every creature. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that begs the question, what is the gospel? Doesn't it? That seems quite simple enough, doesn't it? What is the gospel? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, and if you're able to turn with me, turn to Romans chapter 1. If not, just listen. If you're prone, if your mind here is prone to this, you say, I want to hear what this man has to say this morning. Now think about, what is the gospel? That's what I want to try to talk about. What is the gospel? Because remember, Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't just go into all the world and do something in the name of God for every creature. No, but preach the gospel. He didn't say go into all the world and just preach to every creature, but preach something specifically. Preach the gospel. So first of all, what is the gospel? Here, the gospel is about one single person. The gospel is a message about one single individual. The gospel is a message about Jesus Christ himself. And listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Do you see it? Look, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And then look, concerning his son. So go back and read it then without the parentheses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you see it? The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. The gospel is not about doing good unto men. The gospel is about preaching Christ unto men. The gospel is not about sewing clothes and growing food and digging wells for people. Those are admirable things, and we should do these things as we can. But the main prerogative of God's people, God's church, and the main thing to God's glory is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that preaching the gospel is to preach Christ, because the gospel of God is the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So you see it? The gospel is about one single person. The gospel is about one single individual. When we veer away from Christ, we've ceased to preach the gospel. When we veer away from the truth of who he is and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do, we've veered away from the truth of the gospel. And secondly, the gospel is the truth about that one single person. Listen to how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul put it this way, 1 Corinthians 15. Remember, the gospel is the truth about that one single person. Moreover, brethren, he writes, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. See, do you see how important it is? This is what I preached, Paul says. This was my message. This is what you received. This is where you stand. This is what saves you, if you continue believing it. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you see it? That's the main thrust. The gospel, again, is not only about Christ, but it's about what he has done. It's how, not just that he died, not just the historical facts of his death, of his burial, and of his resurrection, but how that Christ died. How did he die? He died as a substitute. He died as the Passover lamb. Many of you may have heard that before, the Passover lamb. You're aware maybe of that, Fred, the Passover lamb, but what is that? Now think about this. You go back sometime and study it. See whether I'm telling you the truth or not. See whether I'm preaching the gospel to you or not. Remember that Passover lamb? The children of Israel were captives. They were slaves in Egypt and under great bondage and oppression. And God had determined to deliver his people from this Egyptian bondage. But God had not determined to deliver the Egyptians. God had determined to deliver his people. And God told them to do this. You take the blood of a lamb, a spotless lamb, a lamb with no problems, no blemishes, a perfect lamb. And you take that lamb and you slay it. You slay that lamb and you take that lamb's blood and you put the blood of that lamb across the top of your doors and down the two sides of your doors. He said, when I pass through Egypt this night, that night, he said, when I pass through Egypt, every firstborn in every house will die except where the blood's at. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do you see that? It's not about you seeing the blood, though see the blood eventually you will. But it's not about you seeing the blood. It's not about me seeing the blood. God said, when I see the blood. And when did God see the blood? That type, that Passover, that symbol, it pointed to Jesus Christ. It pointed to the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist cried out, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And when God Almighty seen that blood, the blood which is shed at Calvary, the blood which according to Hebrews is shed once for all, one time and for all time. That's what that means. He shed once for all. That blood being shed once, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, if God the Son shed his blood for you, then God the Father has passed over you. And that's a glorious truth. This is the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is how he died for our sins, according to the scripture, as a definite, absolute sacrifice for sin. And those for whom the blood was shed, they shall be passed over in mercy and grace. And he died as a, according to our Lord's own words in John chapter 10, he died as a substitute for his sheep. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the gospel. You see, there's some sheep out there. And what I'm doing is throwing out sheep food. And the sheep food is the very person and work of Jesus Christ. And he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And he said, I know my sheep. He said, my sheep know me. He said, I call my sheep by name and I call them out. He calls them unto himself. And he's making of his sheep a new fold. A new fold. And he's calling them out. This is the truth. He died as a substitute for his sheep. You see, the universal love, the universal dying of Jesus for everybody without exception is just not the truth of God. Jesus Christ is the unfailing Christ of God. I want to read you something. And listen to what the prophet Isaiah prophesied concerning the Messiah. What he prophesied concerning Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was and is the Messiah. And listen to what he says about him. Isaiah chapter 42. And listen to these words. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Now listen to these words. These are glorious. Listen to what it says about Jesus Christ. And we know this is Christ because in the New Testament, it's quoted of Christ. The New Testament says this was Christ. The New Testament writers proclaim under the inspiration of the Spirit of God that Isaiah was talking about Jesus Christ when he wrote these words. And listen to what he says about Jesus Christ. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Do you see? He shall not fail. Now, if you think that God loves everybody and sent Jesus to die for everybody and make salvation possible for everybody, and yet the book clearly states that not everybody is going to be saved, then Jesus Christ is a failure. But Jesus Christ didn't fail. You know why? Because he came to save his people from their sins. That's exactly what the angel announced to Mary when she announced the conception and birth of Jesus Christ. You'll call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Isaiah goes on. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I have called thee in righteousness. This is talking about God the Son. God the Father speaking to God the Son. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Do you see it? God says this work of salvation, it's mine, and I'll do it through my son. I'll do it through my son. He shall not fail, and he shall not be discouraged. Think about it. According to the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is quite clear that concerning Jesus Christ, that he shall not fail nor be discouraged in reconciling a people unto himself. Think it. Christ did not fail in reconciling a people and securing their salvation. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 5. This is what he actually wrote. We're going to talk about what he actually wrote, not what men say he meant, but what he actually wrote. Romans 5, and just two verses, verse 10 and 11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So when were men reconciled? Whoever was reconciled when they were enemies. They were still enemies. And they were reconciled by the death of his son, by his death. That's it, by his death. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you see it? And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Isn't that glorious? Do you see what he's saying? He shall not fail. He shall not fail in reconciling the people and securing their salvation. Also, according to our Lord Jesus Christ himself, John records some words of our Lord. And I made reference to it a moment ago. Listen to what Jesus Christ said. He shall not fail. This is one of the things he shall not fail in. This is the gospel. This is what it means to go into the world, all the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ shall not fail nor be discouraged. That's what the book says about the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Therefore, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he set judgment in the earth. And the isle shall wait for his law. And he did not fail. And he shall not fail in gathering his sheep. Listen to what our Lord said himself. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have. He was speaking here to some Jews. And he's telling these Jews, I have amongst you Jews some sheep. I have amongst you some sheep. They weren't all sheep. Just some of them were sheep. I have amongst you Jews some sheep. But he's saying, there's some other sheep I have. The Gentiles out here. I've got some sheep among the Gentiles. That's what he's talking about here. And other sheep I have. Now think of it. Which are not of this fold. Do you see it? They're already sheep. Now think about it. I have. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. Do you see it? They haven't been brought yet, but they're already sheep. But who must bring them? Must they come? Oh, come they will, but they'll come because they're being brought. You see it? Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, this is what Christ said about himself. If he doesn't do that, then he's a failure. Do you see it? Then he's a failure. And the Messiah, the one that God the Father promised, and specifically promised through Isaiah the prophet, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. What? In bringing his sheep, in calling them out, in making a new fold under this new shepherd, himself the good shepherd. So he did not fail in reconciling the people and securing their salvation. And he shall not fail in gathering up his sheep together. But here's the third thing about the gospel. Here's what the gospel is. You know, because remember, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the main thing. That's the primary objective in this statement of our Lord. Some of the last words that he ever gave to his disciples before he went back to glory. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The emphasis is not on the going, though go we must. The emphasis is not on every creature, though unto every creature we should. The emphasis is this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the emphasis. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ being the Messiah, here is the gospel. Here's the truth of the gospel. He did not fail in sanctifying and perfecting a people before God. Now let's go back and turn with me, if you can, to Hebrews chapter 10. And listen to what the writer of Hebrews says here in Hebrews chapter 10. And he begins talking about all of those sacrifices, all of those animals sacrificed way back yonder under the law. And listen to what he says about these things. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So what he's saying is those sacrifices could not perfect men before God. They could not make anyone perfect before God. They were just a picture. They were a symbol. They pointed to something else. Look, for then would they have not ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Do you see it? This is why they constantly offered them over and over and over again, because they never satisfied God's divine justice. And therefore, they never purged the conscience of anybody. That's why they just kept doing them over and over. But look, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, who cometh into the world? The Messiah, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Messiah. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. This is a quote from the Old Testament, even from David, who was under all those sacrifices. Listen to what he said. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that's the first, all those old sacrifices, that old covenant. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified. And how are we sanctified? Those that are sanctified, how are they sanctified? Remember, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. Remember, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Listen, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And that's where it stops. The for all is in italics. It doesn't hurt it, but it's once and for all time, if you want to read it that way. But it's for a, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. How were those who were sanctified? Sanctified by the offering of his body. He did that once. And look, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now listen to the last verse, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Do you see it? For by one offering. So what is the gospel? What is it that we're going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? We are to preach that when Jesus Christ died on that tree, when he offered up his body, he sanctified a people and he perfected a people, and he did it then. And that sanctification will come to fruition. These people are called sheep. They're called his people. They're the ones that he died to save, the ones that he died to reconcile. And he'll call them by name, and he'll call them to himself, and there'll be one fold and one shepherd. That is the gospel. You see, any preaching of a Jesus who tried to do anything or died to only make anything possible, even make one thing possible, that is not the gospel. That's a perversion of the gospel. Paul says it's not even a gospel at all. It's a perversion of the gospel. You see, Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news is that Jesus Christ did everything that the Father ordained for him to do before the foundation of the world. And everything that Jesus Christ did will redound to the honor of Jesus Christ. You see, Christ obtained eternal redemption, and his blood is efficacious towards service to God. Go back and read it sometimes. Read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. Everyone for whom Christ shed his blood, their conscience shall be purged from dead works to serve the living God. And not only that, Christ decreed in his prayer as high priest, he decreed that his people be with him where he is. Go back and read his prayer in John chapter 17, verses 24, 25, and 26. And who were those people? First of all, they were the 11. They were the 11, not Judas, but they were the 11. And he also prayed, not only do I pray for these, not only am I praying for these 11 men, but I'm praying for everyone that shall believe on me through their word. He prayed for all of his people, for everyone who would believe. So Christ decreed in his prayer as high priest, he decreed that his people be with him where he is, and he shall not fail nor be discouraged. That's the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, this weak, effeminate, sissy Jesus of false Christianity and that perverted anti-gospel message is all of Antichrist. That's what it is. The gospel is the message of this. Here's the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of God. Salvation is a work of God from eternity to eternity and all throughout time in between. God purposed it before the foundation of the world, and he purposed it in Christ Jesus, and he purposed whom it was for. And he sent his son into this world, and his son satisfied all of divine justice on their behalf. And he now sends out his spirit and his gospel to call these people out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is why he said, go ye into all the world. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you see it? And preach the gospel to every creature. That is the primary objective of God's people in this age.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.